Praise God. Hallelujah. She's going to come up and minister to us. And let's just reach out to her tonight. Just
praise
reach
the
out
Lord.
To her. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We just give you honor and glory and blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We magnify your name, King Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Lord. Almighty God, there's none beside you, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Randorabarabasaya. Hilalabashandalakandariamboria. Hilalabasandalabakadidianea. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we have certainly enjoyed being with you again. I think every time it gets better. Hallelujah. You see the growth in the body and how God is changing us. He's teaching us things that we need to know and strengthening us to stand in this hour. Hallelujah. I just praise Him. I think this is a place of like a kingdom filling station. I see the Holy Spirit poured out here. I see a body coming together. And I see God moving in the midst of His people. A readiness for the days to come, the hours to pass. God's doing great and wonderful things in our lives. As hoarse as I am, I want to sing you a little song because I feel like you would enjoy learning it. I heard it at camp this summer when I was at camp meeting out in Arkansas. And it just sang in my spirit and it blessed me so much. I didn't know all the words right away, but I went around the highways humming what I knew. And when I got with Brother Goodson back last month in Oklahoma, well, he taught it to me right. And it goes like this. Sweet, sweet anointing, coming down to make me clean, like a mighty rushing stream. Sweet, sweet anointing, pouring out the oil and wine all over me, pouring out the oil and wine all over me. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. We've been asking the Lord to increase our anointing. We've been asking for more wisdom. I think sometimes we forget to do that. We walk in what we have, and we enjoy the presence of the Lord as He teaches us. But I believe that this progressive work of His nature within us, that we must be aware that for everyday progress, more anointing is needed. And so we say, Lord, anoint us for all that lies ahead. Let us make the progress that is needed for the day in which we live. Now, praise the Lord for what He's doing in each of us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I thank You for Your everlasting gospel. I thank You for Your word that is incarnate in us, Lord. That You're writing it upon our heart. Every line, every precept, You are fulfilling truth within the midst of Your body. I thank You, Lord God, that You have chosen us and that You have placed this anointing, Your anointing, in the midst of each one of us. I thank You, Lord, that You make us the head and not the tail. You call us out of darkness into light. You set our feet in a large place. And you deliver us so there's more room in us for you. And so, Lord Jesus, tonight we command our being to your attention. We ask you to write indelibly your word upon our heart. For we seek you, Lord, in all that you are speaking in this day, when this earth is so full of divination and the powers of darkness are all around us, like heavy clouds brooding over the earth. But we thank you, Lord God, that you called a light people, truth, light, wisdom, and you are grooming them to stand all the test of time. There be nothing in us that has to be tested, for we've passed the crises that makes us more like you, Lord. And so, Jesus, keep us close to one another, close to you. Let us be aware and mindful of the need of our body, Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And let us, Lord, be careful how we treat them. Let us lift them up in honor and love them and cherish them as precious and noble in your sight. And let us, Lord, overcome every obstacle that would blind our way from such a glorious place. And now, Jesus, teach us as we hearken unto your word. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel like you guys are kin to me. Praise God. We've had such a good day today. And it just is so, it's so precious to be here and to see what the Lord is doing in every one of us. I wanted to just sort of make some statements tonight. We talked about the revelation of Jesus, the revealing of resurrection, life out of death. You and I are facts of life tonight. We are life because He has given us life, a resurrection life, power, dominion to overcome all that has bound us in the powers of death. We looked at this unveiling each night of divine mysteries, knowing that in the soon return of Jesus Christ, a preparation and readiness, each one of us, His body, must be contained in that precious glory of peace and rest and resurrection. See? And so, we're looking at this mixture that is ripe to be exposed in this end time hour. For a body must go on. And it's as though we've been at a standstill because the mixture of lawlessness from generations past, the cup is now full. The body is hurting, bruised, swollen by the demonic forces that have been allowed because of the rebellions of generations past. Now, the Lord is showing us that we are truly His. You know, sometimes, you know, when we forget to make the progress, we are so caught up in the problem of today. And the Lord is calling us, like, you know, He's saying, bestir yourself, shake yourself, acknowledge what is going on. Let life be revealed in your container, your being. Recognize flesh weaknesses where the enemy bombards you and tries to set up his camp to overtake you. Let your good be seen and let your joy remain. You know, a vision of Jesus. We are the pattern. God has called us to become His likeness. You know, I'm talking big. And it's, you know, it's beyond the natural kind of thinking. We stop short of that because of the limitation of our knowledge in the tangible senses. We stop short of it because many times our problem is bigger than our acknowledgement of His presence. See? And we minister in the hurt and pain and crying out, woe is me, and boy, the classic one, why me, Lord, see? And we're trying all the time to, you know, sort of psych ourselves up, if I could use that kind of term, to that place where we know that it's finished as far as we're concerned. Our human container, this flesh feeling, has got to be dealt with. And so, in John's revelation, this end time truth, the revealing of our part in Him. At the very beginning, God lets us know that we are in Him. Seven churches, the ecclesia, the called out ones, mixtures that must be dealt with. We see Him speak. He said, these things, saith He, naming the aspect and the nature pertinent to each church. To Ephesus, it was a great and a powerful church, but it was losing zeal. And we see that attitude in the body. Great and powerful, but passive, tired, see? Lost your first love. I pondered that situation for a long time. How could I lose my first love? I remembered back those days when I was first baptized in the Holy Ghost and as a young girl of 18 and started Bible school. I think some nights when I went home from meeting, I walked on top of the trees. A love and a joy that I just was bursting with. Wonderful excitement. Looking for Him in everything, everywhere and all the time. I was working then. I remember in my childishness and in my love for Him, I wrote Him a love letter, like an open letter to the body. And I told Him how much I loved Him. And I put it on the bulletin board at work. Yeah, I did that. Silly. But you know, when you're in love, nothing silly. It's all wonderful. See? Lacking zeal. See? Where are we, Lord, in our relationship with You? How much time are we spending? You know, lovers like to commune in the privacy of that communication to talk it over. Who we are and how much we care. Let us love You, Lord. We're a part of Your body. We're there like a bride, the union process, a commitment and a communion making us one in You. Great and powerful is this love, this church. We must not lose zeal. These things He said, Him that holds the seven stars in his right hand, standing in the midst of seven lampstands. What a magnificent thought to think of the fullness of light. Total truth. No more guessing, knowing I'm my beloved and he's mine. Hallelujah. See, no guessing about a light so clear and so marvelous in wisdom, in the being, a church, a called out one who will stand in that light and proclaim liberty to every captive. Ephesus, desirable permissiveness, it means. And let this attitude be desiring Jesus Christ. And let us turn away from the mixture that was in this city in this hour. And let us know that as the mixture has abounded in each one of us, He, Jesus, has given us authority to overcome it. Hallelujah. To Smyrna, he says, a poor and a suffering church facing martyrdom. These things he said that was dead and lived again. I think that this one thing has to be understood in the body of Christ in this end time hour. We have viewed the church with a death understanding. I believe I've said that every night and Sunday that we've been here. We have viewed with a dead understanding that is expecting the worst, a negative ending when the Lord our God, out of death, has given us life. That we might understand the power of life and command that glory into everything that concerns us. When the crisis comes, the trauma shakes, the devastation is revealed, command glory into it in the name of Jesus. I'm expecting light to be revealed here, Lord. I'm expecting to understand truth. I'm expecting to know the reason why. And I'm expecting to attack it in your name and command every faulty thing that has disturbed my peace to be loosed from my situation. Smyrna means bitterness. If we allowed the facts of death to be our thinking process, it would produce such a bitterness within us that we would become so cantankerously bitter, so full of corruption and death, that we would do just that. Bitterness, the end of it, is death. And so he says, these things saith he that was dead and lived again. To the church of Pergamos. Tolerating teachers of immorality. These things saith he that hath a sharp, two-edged sword. Pergamos means married with the world. Things that must be overcome. And that two-edged sword, the Word of God, rightly dividing truth. There is a separation that must come to you between you and the world. You can't view the Lord married to the world. You cannot be an unfaithful lover. You cannot expect the blessings of the protection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you are giving yourself to the things of the world. To Thyatira, he said, you're growing in zeal, But you're tolerating Jezebel. Like the spirit of witchcraft, divination, powers that control the mind. And he said, I'll throw her on a bed of ashes. And I'll cause her paramours to be thrown upon a bed of ashes. That idolatry that has gone on has got to be revealed. And he said, I will cause severe affliction, pressing, unless they turn away their minds from such conduct as hers. And I'll strike her children, her proper followers, dead. And I really trembled when I began to understand this. We're looking at a nation of forgotten children. Children with no parent identity. Forgotten, God's laws forgotten. And God says, because you forget my laws, I will forget your children. Rebellion abounding, children against fathers, fathers against sons, mothers against daughters, daughters against mothers. Horrifying things, murders and hatreds brewing. A pot and a mixture in this hour. A church that God has called to be a part of His body that's got to change her attitude and become like Jesus now. These things saith the Son of God to him that tolerates Jezebel, who hath eyes like a flame of fire. The Lord meant them to know that He saw that adulterous divination power, psychic phenomena in a body that was meant to know the miracle power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God. Now, to Sardis, he says, these things. To Sardis with a name that is lived, but it's dead. Sardis means the escaping one. These things saith he that have the seven spirits of God. God speaking so clearly. That sevenfold nature of the Holy Ghost. Every bit of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Alive. Endued with power. Given unto each one of us without measure. The limit of God in your life is on your part, not His. He meant for us to have it all. He meant for us to know Him, to receive Him, and to dwell in Him from everlasting to everlasting. He that hath the seven spirits of God. To the Philadelphia church, a nobody in a city, but faithful. It meant brotherly love. These things saith he that open, and none shall shut. Beloved, when you're walking in the love of God, the Lord your God goes before you, and no man can shut that door that God opens. When you determine to love Him back, and to seek Him as your vital necessity. That brotherly love, that the love of the brethren. Glory to God, a resurrection quality. Life out of death. Now, these things saith he that openeth, and none shall shut. To Laodicea, the lukewarm church, passivity. These things saith the faithful and the true witness. We can no longer sit on the fence. We can no longer be lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Beloved, it's time to stand in dominion of resurrection and know that life has been given unto us. He has spoken these things. He said, I know your works. To Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, and your patience, qualities that remain. God always recognizes what is given unto him. To Smyrna he said, I know your works and the tribulation and your poverty. To Pergamos he said, I know where you dwell and where Satan's throne is. Everything that would lay hidden is now being revealed. He's shaking this earth, and all of it is his mercy. The Lord is not going to allow this resurrection process to be diluted with the power of death. He is not going to allow his body to be dismembered and be lost or deserted in this sea and mass of lawlessness and rebellion. He has called out discipline, divine order to protect us from all that is evil. He has given us himself, and he has bequeathed unto us, called us a vital part of his own, his body. He was the lamb that was slain. And we are the lamb as though we had been slain. We are his body, and it's finished concerning us. To Thyatira he says, I know thy works, thy love, thy faith, and thy patience. To Sardius, a name, thou livest, but you're dead. To Philadelphia, I know your works, you've kept my word. And to Laodicea, you're neither cold nor hot. The Lord our God is well aware of where our progress is and where we dwell and where we're going. Hallelujah. Now, all of these things, attitudes in every one of us, this body, like this sevenfold nature of fullness, of lawlessness, mixture, the Lord revealed, unveiling the divine mysteries. This is the revelation of Jesus. We're a part of that body. We are there because he came to save us. It is mind-boggling to the natural mind in our abilities of humanness. We cannot fathom it. But by the Spirit and through the Spirit, we can know that he has made us a part of him. John 14 speaks it so clearly. We are in him, and he is in us. That's a fact of life. And that's the way it is. And when every enemy is put under our foot, when we pull down the blindness, see, we're looking through a glass darkly at this point. There are things of this death realm that we have all been bound up in. Demonic forces that have kept us from victory. We have been like that one who has lost the first love. Faithless because of the weakness that we have viewed him in. Through our containment in the natural sense of humankind, we could not know the resurrection glory that God designed for us to be contained in. But every time we pull down those powers, demonic forces that have blinded our mind and caused us to malfunction, it gets a little clearer. Knowledge increases. Locked in the being. We're not shaken when we hear the knock at the door and that old sly fox, the devil, standing there and he wants to gobble us up. We're like Brother Wigglesworth was. That's just you again. See, he doesn't come and cause you to tremble because you know what the Word says in your behalf. You're not weak. You haven't fallen into the sleep of death. Beloved, you're alive. Hallelujah. And that energy of the Holy Ghost is fulfilled in you. And you're standing there in authority, a word of power and might. And you're commanding in the name of Jesus. Because as an heir, hallelujah, joint heir with Jesus Christ, you wouldn't expect anything else but the power of life, that word in your mouth. You wouldn't view him in fear and trauma like you used to. Because you're learning the word. You're making progress. You're maturing. You're overcoming. And to him that overcometh, to Ephesus, he said, I'll cause you to eat of the tree of life. Now, I really got excited there when he said that. I thought of the trees in the garden, the two trees, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of the knowledge of life, everlasting life. And I saw that tree of everlasting life as Jesus, the planting of the Lord. And I saw in my understanding what God meant when he said that Adam and Eve must be taken out of the garden lest they eat of that tree of the knowledge of life and live forever in that state of good and evil understanding where the enemy could come and in that divination power sway them back and forth by degrees of his ability of divination down through the ages. But God making a reservation, a preservation of that tree. Hallelujah. And here we see him in the last chapters of Revelation. And we see this tree planted. Let's just turn to it and look at it because it's so wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've got to get it just exactly here. If you find it before I do, you tell me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. This tree that was planted by the rivers of water. Water that was coming out of the throne of God. It said that its leaves, here it is, the 22nd chapter. He showed me a river whose waters give life. Sparkling like crystal, flowing out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the broad way of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life. Ooh, hallelujah. With its 12 varieties of fruit, like the fullness of perfection, yielding each month, that means a progressive work of fullness, its fresh crop. Hallelujah now. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing and the restoration of the nations. And I said, Lord God, that tree of life, when our desire is only for you, Lord, when the things of the world are far behind, nothing matters but Jesus. You talk about love. Hallelujah, it's good. Praise the Lord now. To eat of the tree of life. Leaves for the healing of the nations. Leaves are shade to the fruit. Protection from the sun, the rain, the storm. Leaves for the healing and the restoration. Preserving life. A progressive work. Producing fruit that's lasting and will remain. Ephesus, the changed body that overcame the power of death. He said, "Of him that overcometh, will eat of the tree of life." Now to Smyrna, that word of bitterness, when you overcome that attitude of bitterness, hatred, jealousy, all that's wound up in bitterness, it says that you'll not be hurt by the second death. In other words, you have died and your real life is hid in Christ, in God. You are alive, hallelujah, because He is alive. You have seen Him, glory to God, and the power outflowing from His resurrection. Eat of that tree of life, and now, not hurt by the second death. Principles, overcome every obstacle of mixture, produces a lasting glory for the true body of Christ. Now, to Pergamos, who has been married with the world, when we overcome that mixture, it says we will eat of the hidden manna. Like mysteries and secrets, revelation, knowledge, the Lord God writing His Word upon her heart. You see, no longer are we an adulterous lover. No longer are we looking into the things of the world to satisfy our longings. But now, oh Lord, we love You, hallelujah, and You are ours. And He has come, and like the lover that He is, He begins to share with you the secrets and the mysteries stored up in the ages, the Word that is ready to be fulfilled in this earth, and to bring to completeness and perfection all of His body out of this earth. Stored up. Hallelujah. Whew, hallelujah. Glory to God. To eat of the hidden manna. Now, when you overcome that old mixture, hallelujah, of compromise, to Thyatira, when we move that old Jezebel nature out, when that spirit of divination that has sought to possess and cause us to malfunction, that Thyatira, Jezebel, harlotress nature attitude, He said, I'll give you the morning star, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The morning star. He, the Son of God. The lily of the valley. The bright and morning star. In other words, the light of day. The morning star. What is morning? That's where dawn begins. Where you can see the morning star. The understanding of all truth. Who you are in Christ Jesus. When the power of divination is broken, when that psychic realm of Balaam, Baal, that seer that would like to contain the church, the false prophets running to and fro in her. Beloved, when you come out of that old Jezebelic nature that wants to run all the programs and try to tell the preachers what to preach and have all the people coming to them because they have got a word for them. Beloved, when you can get beyond that attitude, hallelujah, He's going to give you the bright and a morning star, a light, hallelujah, that will be shed abroad every thought that ever has been and ever will be, a truth that will remain in the midst of you that you'll never think to compromise or sit down and be passive or fool away time again, but every moment you would be given unto Him now. To that Sardius church, which means the escaping one, to him that overcometh, He'll not blot his name out of the book of life. Even in all that runaway, and we see those escaping ones everywhere, they come to the point where it is time to overcome, be disciplined, deal with themselves, and they pull out and go to another church. And they stay in that immature place because they're renegades. They're wanderers. They're like illegitimate children. They don't want to grow up and mature and become like Father. They want to do their thing. They want to spell it out like they want it. And we see a lot of those kind of folks around. And that escaping one, like the jewel, that Sardis stone that it was, when God was through with it, it was transparent. Didn't see more of that junk in it anymore. All it did was reflect light. Hallelujah. Sometime maybe when we come, we can study on those 12 stones. It's a beautiful study. But him that overcometh this Sardis nature, that runaway, he said he'll not blot your name out of the book of life to live in Christ Jesus. Now I want you to note that book of life. It was written on the front and on the back. There was no room for anything else to be written on it. God made that plan for life, and there wasn't any space for man to add to it or to take away from it. That book was sealed. Every name written there. And God was the author. Hallelujah. He wrote the name down. Hallelujah. So when you overcome that escaping nature, now you're going to know where your name's written down. To Philadelphia, he said to him that overcometh, he said, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of God. I thought about Solomon's temple when I read that. And there was Jason and there was Boaz. To be established in strength is what it meant. Jason was a pillar and Boaz was a pillar on the porch of Solomon's tabernacle. A porch is what holds up the entranceway. I thought, isn't that nice, Lord? And understanding doorkeepers. Hallelujah. Him that overcometh, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says he'll go no more out. A place in God. A temple. Hallelujah. And to the Laodicea church, he said, he that overcometh, he'll cause him to sit with me in my throne. I tell you, beloved, as these attitudes of death, the mixture of death is out of the body. Resurrection life coming forth, hallelujah. We're going to sit in His throne. Sit in His throne. God planned. He unveiled in Revelation Jesus Christ. And there we all are, a part of His body. Belonging to Him, the mixture of the church, sevenfold natures, attitudes that must be overcome. And He closes each letter with this, as if He were warning or admonishing each one of us to take seriously what He says. And He says to him that hath ears to hear, to him that overcomes. Now, we are all part of that tabernacle. Living stones. Turn with me, please. We're going to feast because we're going to wean Isaac. He's going to sit up at the table and eat meat for the first time. Here's little Isaac just crying and carrying on. Because he liked that milk. Wasn't nothing any better than that to him. But it was time. If he was going to grow on, he had to eat some meat. And here's old Ishmael standing in the corner, 13 years old. He knew what it was to eat meat. And he's laughing at his brother Isaac. And of course the mamas got into it and there was a separation at that point. But the point I want to make is, Isaac learned how to eat meat. He grew up, and he was a son, hallelujah, that was glorious, full of wisdom, who knew when God selected him a wife. Didn't take him long to run out in that field and get her off that camel. No, I think she jumped off the camel. See, when it's right, you know. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our salvation luck, and we realize who we are in Christ Jesus, and we know what has been carried out, the plan of God. We're like that Eliezer
who was looking for the camels, and we're saying, thank you, Lord, for the camels. Because if that lady hadn't have been there that day, oh, Eliezer would have had to draw the water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? Thank you, Lord, that your work is supplied. Thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us. See? Thank you, Lord, that there's a maturing process in every realm that's going to bring strength, adulthood, authority to sit down. Hallelujah. In the throne of God. I mean, you know, I can hardly imagine the glory of the Lord. But the more this old attitude of death is loosed from me, the easier that glory understanding is in the midst of me. Hallelujah. And you're not depending just on the 6 goose pimples and the 12 hairs that come into being when you think you've had a spiritual visitation. But there's a knowledge in you. It's so. He said it. It's so. See, that's maturity. And you are ready to take a bite out of the meat and to let it be digested spiritually, to put sinew and muscle upon you so that the Word of God that's energized with the power of life will bring that fulfillment of life in everything that concerns you. So he said, since you've already tasted goodness and the kindness of the Lord, come to him then, to that living stone, which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come, and as living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house. Now, I want to make a statement here. Deliverance is not a quick fix for you to escape from your enemy. Deliverance is necessary, and it is a completing of life, authority, understanding in you. But beloved, when you are delivered, you need to be in a body that's going to love you. You can't run around and play church and neglect the Word and go after the pleasures that are evolved because of flesh. You can't neglect your relationship with the Lord. Deliverance is very serious business. It's like a stepping stone. It's making you ready for the sure house, the temple that Jesus is building, the one that God called into being. You see, Moses had a shadow and type of that, of the vision of that tabernacle in the wilderness. David saw it in the tent of Onan's threshing floor, and in Zion, his city. And Solomon built a temple. Generations have come and gone as each generation had a vision of what it was like to be tabernacled or a part of God. But you and I are living stones made up a spiritual house. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. We are a many-membered body. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn of the dead. He is the resurrected Lord. And He came to give resurrection life, understanding to each one of us. And in its understanding, we are being delivered from all that has been death within us. And that's what deliverance is doing. It's taking out the dead wood. You know, The contaminations, the weak places that could not be raised into that structure of glory. See, it's removing the shadows and the darkness so
so that you can know the sunny side, hallelujah, the light and the glory, praise the Lord. Living stones built up into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood. Everyone standing in the dominion of total truth and never wavering, never being affected again of embarrassment because we would not measure up, because the power of attorney of the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth has shown you to you, and in the name of Jesus you have pulled down every stronghold and cast out every demon and broken every bloodline curse that would cause you to be weak and fallen into the sleep of death, and you've arisen out of the grave, hallelujah, and the grave clothes are unwrapped, and underneath is a glory that the nations, hallelujah, and the peoples are longing to see, a many-membered body standing in dominion and power, commanding in the name of Jesus. How do we know? Because we've been there, hallelujah. How do we know? Because it works, hallelujah. It's worked in the midst of us. We're not talking about what some other generation wrote. We're walking it out. We're living it, hallelujah. We're turning and we're walking out of death, and death has no power and no dominion over a people who have been called as resurrection life people, who will live and not die, who will stand in glory, hallelujah, and know the truth. And because the truth sets you free. Yea, Lord. Hallelujah. No more pride of life in this natural realm, but a glory, hallelujah, a submission unto Him. I give myself to You, Lord. I consecrate my being to Your keeping, Jesus. A spiritual priesthood. Glory to God. Holy, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy before You, Lord. Nothing in us that has to be tested. We've passed the test. Darkness is gone. The shadows have disappeared. The clouds are removed. And here we are, a Zion people, the mountain of God, a threshing floor of peace, a Jerusalem seed. Hallelujah. For it says, come and as living stones be yourself built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to the Lord and well-pleasing to God through Christ Jesus. See, for thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious, chief cornerstone. And he who believes in Him. That's another thing that deliverance does. Beloved, when we've had a lack of faith or been faithless, once those shadows and darkness, those powers are removed out of us, those demonic forces, faith, hallelujah, is just like breath. Whew, that's what breath is. See, you got to have it. Hallelujah. Faith is there. You don't waver. You expect. You wouldn't think any other way but in faithfulness, resting in God, expecting what faith is, what God decreed to convey us to Him in His presence, seated in His throne. Oh, yes, Lord. I love You, Jesus. You have made a place for us. Now, to you then who believes Thee, who adhere and trust in and rely on Him, is this preciousness. But for those who disbelieve, it is true. The very stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone, and a stone that will cause stumbling, and a rock that will give men offense. They stumble because they disobey. Please hear that. If you've fallen down somewhere and it looks like you're under the circumstances instead of on top of them, find out where disobedience is abounding and deal with it in the name of Jesus. They disbelieve God's word. Let us, Him who is faithful, let us be faithful still. See? As those who reject Him were destined and appointed to do. See? They disbelieved God's word as those who reject Him and were destined and appointed to do. But it says, you
are a chosen royal race, a priesthood, a dedicated nation. See, we are a many-membered body. God's own purchased people. See, you're not an accident going somewhere to happen, but you're the plan of God. Hallelujah. You belong. You're a vital part of the body. And as you deal with yourself, you are delivered and being delivered. Purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Paul said it like this: when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. God's calling to maturity. Overcomers coming over. Crowned with life. Resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. See, once you were not a people at all, but now you're God's people. See, once you were unpitied, but now you're pitied and have received mercy. Beloved, He said, I implore you, as sojourners, strangers, and exiles in this world, to abstain from evil sensual desires and passions of your flesh, your lower nature, that wage war against the soul, to Him that overcomes. Beloved, there is a revealing of Jesus Christ. He stands at the door. You and I, a vital part of His body, He has decreed and called us according to His word. Let us go on. Let us receive truth. Let us hearken unto His word. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight, that You have made it available unto us, that You are revealing, O Lord God, a mixture in Your body that must be removed. We stand, Lord, a company of people seeking more of You. Let us be careful, my Father, to honor and praise and magnify Your name and get it right. And get it right. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that has been said unto us, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of a message that I preached the other day when they were putting the loaves of bread on the table, symbolic, the bread of the face it was called, or the bread of the presence. And we're eating that bread of life. And there was one sentence that stood out so strongly to me. And it says, and you shall set the showbread, the bread of the presence, on the table before Me always. Beloved, He has called us unto Him. We are that bread company. Jesus Christ has given us His body. We are to be like Him, and we are before Him always. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. See, Jesus was the 13th loaf. He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves, and the 4,000 with 7 loaves, and 5 and 7 is 12. And they got in the boat, and one guy said, oh, we forgot the bread. And another one said, no, we got one loaf here. And they did. They had Jesus Christ, the full loaf, the bread of the presence, the bread of the face. Hallelujah. And He was there. Hallelujah. In the boat. Hallelujah. You're not in this journey of life all by yourself. And now we look again, and 12 men sit at a table. It's the Last Supper, the last time to eat together. In the flesh. And here He is, breaking the bread. pouring the wine. The 13th loaf. The children of Israel, every 12 tribes, symbolize the 12 loaves that laid on the showbread, every man having a representation with God. But now, 12 disciples, apostles, hanging on to every word, feeling grieved because they knew shortly he would be gone. Faith brought to a point where it must be acted upon. Quivering, I'm sure. And the 13th loaf broke the bread. Hallelujah. He gave his body. Hallelujah. And you and I have been eating that bread. Hallelujah. Ever since we met him. He's been feeding us the word. It's life. Hallelujah. It's life everlasting. See, let's move on into that realm of glory where the word is fed upon, where you starve your doubts. Hallelujah. Glory to God and your fears. Let us stand in the glory of the Lord. Can you say amen tonight? Now, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know that there's ministry that's needed here tonight. We're going to pray for one another. Hallelujah. We've had much deliverance today and yesterday. God has really moved. And we are here with much anointing tonight. I want you to take the hand of the person that's sitting next to you.